I think we started yesterday going through all of the Beis and Beis. We're going through all of the additional examples where we don't do Kasher Zaman. So the Mishnah had mentioned the first two, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza in the case of Yer Miklat, and then the Gemara adds Ve'in Mishal Minas HaKofer, that we don't pay Kofer based on, we don't, in Eid Zomim is never going to have to pay Kofer. That's not part of Kasher Zaman. Instead, we do something else, whether it's Malkus or whatever, but he doesn't have to pay kofar. So says the Gemara, Ve'in Mishal Menes HaKofar. Why not? Kasavri Kufra Kapara, because we're assuming that Kufra is Kapara, Vahani Lavene Kapara Ninu. And these Edim are not people who need this Kapara, because it's not their ox that killed anyone. It's the other guy's ox that killed someone, which I pointed out yesterday is a little bit difficult to understand, because that's the whole concept of Edim Zomim. Edim Zomim, when they say that someone was Mechal Shabbos, they get, and then they're caught as Edim Zomim. They get Skila. Why? Because they wanted to give the other guy Skila. But they're not the ones that were Mechal Shabbos. Isn't that the whole point? Meaning, so they still get the punishment they tried to give the other guy. Why is the fact that Kufra Kapara, and Rashi emphasizes, Shalo Harag Shoram Adam, their Shor never killed anybody, so why should they have to pay Kapara? It's a little bit difficult to understand. What does that mean? That Shalo Harag Shoram Adam. So, what? Yeah?
Well, telling a Chagat Yah thing is like, you're like, I'm testifying on this guy that his ox killed that guy. But in a normal Edom Zomim case, when you're testifying, I'm testifying that Reuven killed Shimon. So it's an extra step in this case of extra.
Meaning it's not directly about what the person himself did.
He didn't do anything.
It's when it's about what the person himself did, then I become that person.
Right.
But when it's about what his ox did, then I shouldn't get that punishment because.
Guy didn't do, you're not testifying on a human, you're testifying on his animal.
Well, you're testifying on the human,
so
not
evil,
guarding his animal, so properly.
Evil ox did, I'm saying, but the human himself didn't do anything.
So since he didn't do the Avera, that's what makes his punishment more of a kapara than somebody else. If somebody else does something, so his punishment is partially kapara, but it's also partially just onesh. But when the guy didn't even do anything, it's only his ox that did it, so then that's an indication that his punishment isn't a punishment, it's really just a kapara. It's not really an onash. Could be. The Ritva quotes Shitos that Ein kapara ela b'misha harag sharas anefesh ulupatro mimisa bidei shamayim. That kapara, this kapara, is only going to exempt from misa bidei shamayim someone whose ox killed somebody. Meaning, these Edim that whose ox didn't kill are not chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, and therefore they don't need the kapara. What kapara means is not just stam that it's kapara. Every onus is kapara. No, what kapara means over here, says the Ritva b'shem yesh omrim, is that kapara is a replacement for the onus that you really should be getting. In that way, it's a kapara. It's mechaper, so now you don't need to get the onus that you really should have gotten. That's what kapara means. So when I testify that Reuven killed Shimon, or that Reuven was mechal Shabbos, so that's the onesh that he was supposed to be getting. And that you say kasha zaman. But when the onesh that he's supposed to be getting is really misa bidei shamayim, when the person's ox kills someone else, it really should have been misa bidei shamayim, but kapara means that the kapara payment is now going to replace the misa bidei shamayim. Well, that only works for someone who was chayiv in the first place, the misa bidei shamayim. But the Edom Zomim aren't chayiv in the first place, the misa bidei shamayim. That's not part of kasha zaman. We don't give them misa bidei shamayim because they tried to give it to someone else. So you hear the Vart? That kapara, this kapara is fundamentally different than any other kasher zamam, any other onesh that we would normally apply kasher zamam to. And he says that's what Rashi means. Rashi in the first wide line, Shelo harag shoram adam. Shkoyach Rashi shelo harag shoram adam. And you know what else? When they testified that Reuven was Mechal Shabbos, they were Mechal Shabbos. When he testified that he killed someone, they didn't kill anybody. Of course, lo harag shoram adam. No, but says the Ritva b'shem nesiyei shomrim, that's the point. The point is that when your ox kills someone, you're chayiv misa b'dei shamayim, and you're given the opportunity of having kofar serve as the kapara in place of the misa b'dei shamayim. But if it wasn't your ox that killed anybody, you never chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. Then the Ritva writes, in addition to that, vaday shalafi shita zu, that if you say like this, you don't need all of these reasons. But since kivan sha'asu b'mezid lo matzinu kapara l'mezidim ve'inu doma l'misha shoro harag sha'pasha v'lo hizid. What makes this different than every other case? Maybe this is a little similar to what Ari was saying. When I testify that someone was mechal Shabbos and I'm trying to get him skila, what am I testifying? I'm testifying that he b'mezid was mechal Shabbos. I testify that he killed someone, I'm testifying that he did it b'mezid. When a person does an avera b'mezid, there's a significant element of onesh more so than kapara in the repercussions of his actions, in the particular onesh that we give him for his actions. But when he only did it b'shogeg or mechoser shmira, he didn't sick his animal on the person. What did he do? He just, his animal got out, his crazy animal got out and killed someone. So then it's not b'toras onesh because he didn't do it b'mezid. It's purely b'toras kapara. That's the difference. Do we ever find kasher zamam in something that was done b'shogeg? That we don't find. Kasher zamam in something that was done b'shogeg. We come close. Ir miklat, someone killed b'shogeg, but that's why we don't give him. We don't give him. In that case, we don't give him. We don't send him to galus. Now, of course, you could argue, yeah, but that's because we have a gzeres hakasuv, we have a drasha from pasuk, not because it's kapara. But at the end of the day, though, we end up not giving him the galus. Then the Ritva asks, if they're lav b'nei kapara, why should they become potter from paying the kofar? Kasher zamam is not a kapara. Kasher zamam is mamon or knas. Meaning, we say, these people aren't going to get a kapara by giving the kofar. The kofar is only offered as a kapara for the guy whose ox killed someone. So why? Okay, so they won't get a kapara. Who says that when we do kasher zamam, it has to be a kapara for them? Kasher zamam is, you wanted to cost them something, so it's going to cost you. Meaning I understand very well that it's a kapara and therefore it's fundamentally different for the guy that you wanted to give it to. It would have been fundamentally different for him than any other onesh. But why should that affect the Edom? The Edom are never getting kapara anyway. So it's not going to be kapara for the Edom, it's not going to be kapara just like it's not kapara for the Edom when they get skila, if they testify that someone's mechal Shabbos. So the Ritva says, and what the Gemara means to say is, that kasher zamam is not shayich by kofar, because Beisdin doesn't, says Beisdin is not mimashkinim also. Beisdin doesn't take collateral for it. Meaning, Beisdin doesn't force someone to pay kapara. We don't kofo osad shiyom roadside. We don't beat him up until he says he's willing to do it. So what the Ritva is trying to say, I believe, is, yeah, we're doing kasher zamam. You have to pay exactly what you would have forced the other guy to pay. When the other guy would have been chayiv kofar, what would we have forced him to do? Nothing. We would have told him he has to pay, but if he would have said no, we wouldn't have had any recourse. For kapara, we're not kofan kapara, we're not mimashka, we don't take a mashka, we don't take collateral for it, we don't beat him up till he does it. So in the end of the day, he was never really being forced to, he never would have been forced to do it in the first place, to pay it in the first place. And therefore, the Edim aren't going to be forced to do it. Say, Nachinami, by most punishments where Beis Din is going to do it against the guy's will, so then it's going to apply to the Edomim also. But not by kapara, because it's up to the person. We tell the guy, you want a kapara for this Avera? You want a clean slate? You don't want me to be Dei Shemayim? We recommend you pay this money. And if he doesn't pay the money, it's your loss, buddy. You're the one that's going to suffer Misa B'dei Shemayim if you don't pay this money. We're not going to force him. It's interesting to think about the different cases where Beis Din forces people and where Beis Din doesn't force people to do things. I just got a shiloh this morning. A guy sent me an email. I'll read it to you. Listen to this shiloh. Think about how you would answer this. Someone owes me a few hundred dollars. and they're not paying me back. Am I allowed to scare them into paying me back by saying something like, if you don't pay me back, something bad will happen to you, or you won't be able to have children? Because I know they get scared by these kinds of things, and they'll probably pay me back. So what's this a shaila? So I was thinking, shaila no nas tavarim, no? To say something like that to a person is onas tavarim. But on the other hand, maybe onas tavarim, when you're trying to motivate proper behavior, is mutter. The Rambam says that a person should not be make or ma'ane as talmido, shouldn't hit or berate your talmidim, yoser midai. Yoser midai mean? More than necessary. What's the diuk? But as much as necessary, then you're allowed to. If Bazin would force this guy to pay, can you force him to pay? I don't know. Whatever. I'll have to think about this shayla different time. It doesn't strike me as right. But so by Kofar, what makes Kofar different is that Bazin doesn't force him. Bazin lets it be. They tell you what the rule is, what the halacha is, but they don't force it. And Mimela, it's not going to apply to the Edim Zomim. Because Bazin never forced the first guy. Then the Ritva quotes from the Ramban, from the Rebbe's Rebbe. The Ritva was the Talmud of the Ra'ah and the Rashba, who were Talmidim of the Ramban. He says, the Eidus, well, it's a very similar thing, of course, from the Ramban, that since the Kofar is B'makom Misu B'dei Shemayim, so the Kofar is not going to be Shaykh for them, we're not Chayiv Misu B'dei Shemayim, because their Eidus accomplished nothing B'dei Shemayim. You want to say something? Right?
Yeah, in the case of the email,
what
about what you owe your money?
No, the guy admits.
The guy, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I owe you money. I'll pay you tomorrow, next week, whatever. He keeps draining a cup.
Okay.
Yeah, in a chinami. No, the real answer is, what does halacha say? You open up a shulchan aruch, a choshem mishpat, and you try to figure out, what's the halacha in this case? It doesn't say anything about berating the person, cursing the person, but that's another shayla. Meaning, is this a curse? You're telling him he's not going to have children. So you allowed to be mekalel chaveru in order to encourage good behavior? In order to encourage him to do a mitzvah? I don't know about that. But...
Is it a different shayla if he says like true things that are in and of itself... That's he says like...
Rabbi Bolzman pointed out this morning, there's something called mishapara. But mitzia, mishapara. Someone doesn't keep his word. This isn't even about a loan. Someone doesn't keep his word. He agreed to something, shook hands, and promised that he's going to do it, and then he doesn't keep his word. Misha para me'anshe dara mabul, me'anshe dara flago, hu yifra michem. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that punished the anshe dara mabul, anshe dara flago, there's a curse that Chazal placed on a person who doesn't keep his word. So maybe he should say, listen buddy, you're going to be b'toras misha para. You know what happened to the anshe dara mabul, anshe dara flago? So he's just informing him that he's included Misha Parah, although I don't know if failing to pay back a loan is Bechal Misha Parah. Misha Parah seems to be specifically like you agree to a sale of something, and then you back out of the sale. I had this shaila when I sold my house in Cedarhurst. But someone offered me, at the time the market was very high, someone offered me $680,000 for the house, $670,000 for the house. And then someone else came in and offered me, and I said, no, $675. And I said, sure, we'll definitely do it at that price. I needed to move quickly because I had to start a shul in North Woodmere, you know, so I was like, sure, we'll definitely do it at that price. And then, you know, you could send your guy to inspect, whatever. And they sent a guy to, you know, the inspector, to the engineer, whatever they call it, to see what's going on in the house. And they found, you know, little things here and there. Shkoyach, I could have told them, you know, it's an 80-year-old house. You know, they found little things. And they said, you know, it's going to cost us $5,000 to fix these things. We want to pay you $5,000 less. $670,000. Now, in the meantime, someone else had come to the house and offered $700,000. And then a third guy came to the house and offered $720,000. Boom, boom, boom. One right after the other. But I already agreed to the $675,000 price. But... the guy who offered 675 now says 670. So he backed out of the 675 agreement by nickel and diming me. I mean, $5,000 nickel, halavai. I should get to the point where $5,000 is a nickel and a dime. But you know, when you're selling a house, it seems like that. So my b'chal mishapara? So definitely not b'chal mishapara, because we never had any contract signed, we never had anything, you know, anything more concrete. And in real estate, it's understood that until you have closing, you know, you're pretty much not safe. But at least the contract, you have nothing to say. So it wouldn't have been b'chal mishapara, but still, would it have been wrong? So Rabbi Willig said, if he's still nickel and diming you, then there's no agreement. He's the one that backed out of the agreement. He's the one that's been mishapara. It's not you that's been mishapara. But then the guy that offered 700, I think, I'm trying to remember, I think the guy that offered 700 said, I know the guy that offered 675, you know, he just found out about that it was his friend, and he's like, I don't want to take the house away from him, but I don't want neither of us to get it either, you know, so I'll take it if you're not going to sell it to him, but I feel bad about selling it to him. How about if he ups his offer to 700, then can you just sell it to him? I think it was 680 in the end. If he offers 680, can you sell it to him? And, you know, so I ended up doing that, you know, I took the 680. So the 720, I just didn't feel right about it. So I told Rav Shechter this. You know, I thought he'd be like, wow, such a tzaddik. He's like, no, chaval al da'avdin, it was the right thing to do. You know, like, big deal. Money is money. Comes and goes. I missed them, I would have spent it all by now anyway. That person has since sold the house. Okay, how do we get to this? Kofar. The definition of kofar is fundamentally different than other payments, because kofar, Beis Din doesn't force for the kofar. The Rambam writes, the Rambam in the 20th paragraph of Hilchos Eidos, that if you made on someone's shor that he killed someone, and then you become an Eid Zomeim, you lokev Eid Mishal Menes HaKofer. You get Malkus, but you don't pay the Kofer. The Ramban and the Ritva say, who says you get Malkus? You don't get Malkus. We're going to say Malkus in the Gemara. It just says, these are the Dalad Dvarim Nemru Beidim Zomeim. Four things we say about Eidim Zomim. You don't do Kasher Zomim when you testify someone's Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. When you testify that someone is Chayiv Golos. When you testify that someone is Chayiv Kofar. When you testify that someone is going to be sold as Neved Ivri. And Eidim Shalom Biasman. In all these cases, we don't do Kasher Zomim. But who says you get Malkus? Meaning this is what we were discussing yesterday. The Mishnah says in the first two cases you get Malkus. But the Mishnah doesn't say after that that you get Malkus. Meaning the Mishnah doesn't talk about the other cases. And the Brisa doesn't say a word about Malkus. So the Ramban and the Ritva say that no, you don't get Kofar and you don't get Malkus. Ramban and the Ritva say that Ein Lokin, because Kofar Kapara, meaning what this boils down to is, what's the lamdus of Kofar Kapara, why you don't have to pay the Kofar? Why don't you have to pay the Kofar? See, if you say you don't have to pay the Kofar because you're not Chayiv any Onesh. Kofar is something that's totally Bidei Shamayim and it doesn't relate to you. Well, then why should you get Malkus in its place? Meaning the cases you get Malkus are things that should apply to you, but practically can't, because lo velo lazaro, because hu velo zomimin. So you deserve to get that onesh, but there's no way to practically implement that onesh that you should actually get it. But when it's good for kapara, where you don't even deserve the onesh, because it's purely a bidei shamayim type of issue, so why would we give you Malkus? You don't get Malkus for anything. So what's the svar of the Rambam then? Why does the Rambam say you get Malkus? Are you here? The reason not to get Malkus, the Rambam and the Ritva, is Shtar Kataina. The whole reason you don't have to pay the kofar is because this is purely Bidei Shemayim, it's purely about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it has nothing to do with you. You're not Chayiv Bidei Shemayim. The reason you don't get sent to Galus, the reason you don't get becoming a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutz, is because we can't. There's just no way to do it. Lova lo lazaro, we can't affect your children. So we have to give you something, so that something is Malkus. But in case of Kofar, we don't have to give you anything. It's a Shtar Kataina. Why does the Rambam say you get Malkus? When a person is found to be an Eid Zomim, What if had the Torah never told you that you get the exact punishment you tried to give the other guy? What would you have said if I would have told you that there, we have to punish somebody who testified falsely? What would you say? What should his punishment be? Someone testifies falsely and we caught him. What should the punishment be?
Blanket punishment.
What is the classic blanket punishment for losana, for violating a losase? Like losana. Malchus, exactly. Right? You would have definitely thought to get Malchus. Every eight zome maybe is really chayiv Malchus. Elamai, we don't give Malchus because the Torah specifically says that you should get kashas hama. In addition to that, the Torah is mechadesh, that when you can't do kasher zamam, the kasher zamam is replaced by a malchus that is kasher zamam. But what if you can't? What if there's no kasher zamam that's shaykh? We can't do kasher zamam. It's a kofar. It's bidei shemayim. So kasher zamam is out of the picture. Would we then go to the default position of saying, okay, but he's still violated the son of reach chakra, so we should give him malchus? Or would we say, no, he gets nothing. You don't give Malchus for Losana by Yedzomah. The Mishnah, on Dalet Amud Aleph, Mishnah has Machlokas Rameir and the Chachamim. Rameir's Shita is that if Edom Zomim testify that someone is Chayiv Masayim Zuz, then they're found to be Edom Zomim, they have to pay Masayim Zuz and they get Malchus. Masayim Zuz for Kasher Zamam and Malchus because Losana of Reach Yitzchakeh. The Chachamim say, no, you got one or the other. And we pass on like the Chachamim, not like Rameir. But maybe that's only because Kedei Rishasa. What's Kedei Rishasa? That's where we learn the halacha. Mishum Risha achasata mechayvi, yata mechayvi mishum shtei rishayos. You can only punish a person for one aver. You can't punish a person for two. So you can't give two onshim. So that's why the Rabbanan say you'd only get one. But when you can't do kasher zamam, say maybe an echnami, you'd give malchus. The default position would be to give malchus. So maybe that's why the Rabbanan holds you give malchus in this case. Maybe. Yeah.
How many averes is an eight zomim doing?
He's lying.
Lying to be an eight shepherd.
That's it.
Is there a separate issue of...
That's the issue. Now, if it happens to be that we catch him in a specific way with other people saying the words, the magic words, Yimanu Yisem, all right, but that's not a punishable offense. What? Yeah, Bidei Shemayim. I'm saying that's not something that we have any business with.
Punish for that also.
But that isn't, again, we don't, just like Kapara, we have nothing to do with that. And Rosh Baruch will deal with that.
We don't force them.
No. The other possibility of the Rambam, why the Rambam says you got Malchus, that possibility I don't think is a real possibility, because I think the Rambam holds that Losana is a lot of shame of mice and you wouldn't get Malchus for it anyway. So I don't think that would work to say that, oh, you can't do Kasher Zamam, so maybe you get Malchus for Losana. I'm not sure, but I don't remember, but I think the Rambam holds Lav Shema Maisa, so you don't get Malchus for it. So what's Pshat then in the Rambam? Why, Taka, would you get Malchus over here? So they say there's a Rambam L'shitaso. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Nizke Mamon, in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Nizke Mamon, that based in Izmim Ashkenin ala Kofer, changes everything. That when your chayiv kofar, Bezin will take your watch or your television or your iPad or whatever until you pay. Which means Bezin forces you to pay. And therefore, what was the whole svara, why kofar kapara, and therefore the Eidim don't get it, because Bezin never would have forced the first guy to pay the kofar. But the Rambam holds, yes, they would have. The Rambam holds that we're mashkin in al kofar. Bezin would have taken the mashkon from the first guy in order to get him to pay the kofar. So Mela, you can apply Kasher Zamam. It's not just Bidei Shemayim. It's something that's very much down here. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't bring the din of Kofar. Because the whole din of Kofar is tully on whether you hold Kufra Mamon or Kufra Kapara. if you hold the Kufra Mamona, then what would you get if you were an Eid Zomein? If your Kufra is not Kapara, it's a regular Mamon payment, you'd have to pay the money. It's only Vil Kufra Kapara and Hani Lav B'nei Kapara Ninhu that you'd get the Malkus instead of the money, or according to the Rabban Ritva, nothing instead of the money. But definitely not the money. So the Mishnah was only listing, according to the Ritva and the Ramban, we understand very well why the Mishnah doesn't talk about Kofar. Why doesn't the Mishnah talk about Kofar? Because the Mishnah is talking about cases where we can't do Kasha Zamam, and therefore we're going to give you Malkus. In the case of Kofar, you're not going to get Malkus. According to the Rambam, though, you're going to get Malkus even in the case of Kofar. So why isn't it in the Mishnah? The Mishnah is listing the cases where we can't do Kasha Zamam. Why isn't this in the Mishnah? But it could be very good, because according to the Rambam, yeah, it's something you'd get Malkus for, but that's only if you hold Kufra Kapara that you'd get Malkus for it. If you hold Kufra Mona, you'd get Mamon for it. You'd have to pay for it. And therefore, it's subject to a Machlokas, so the Mishnah's staying away from things that are subject to a Machlokas. The Mishnah's trying to keep its list pure. Now, if Kufra is Kapara, with this will close. If Kufra is Kapara, because the Gemara says, Man Tana and Avezon Beis. Man Tana Kufra Kapara. Who's the one that holds Kufra Kapara? So we want to suggest it's Rabbi Yishmael Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. When the Pasuk says, V'nasan Pidyon Nafsho, that you pay the redemption of his soul, it means, according to Rabbi Yishmael Benosh Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, to make Mazik. You pay your own value, not the value of the guy that was hurt, that was killed. Pay your own value. Why am I paying my own value? I'm alive, I'm fine. It was the other guy that was killed, I should pay his value. No, because it's all about kapara. So it's all about me. So I have to alleviate the burden of the weight of the avera from me. It's misa bidei shemayim. I'm paying to take the misa bidei shemayim off of me. Not off of him. That's the idea of kufra kapara. So that's Rabbi Shlomo Menosh, Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. This machlokas we shown him. If you hold kufra kapara, do you need shnei edim and a psak din in order to pay kofar? The Rambam paskins in the seventh paragraph of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, Halach Yud Aleph, that one is only chayiv to pay kofar if there's a raya brura, edim ksherim, like any other edus in the Torah. The Rashba, however, Meseches Bava Kama, Daf Mem Aleph, writes that since Kufra Kapara, the payment is for a Kapara, it's enough to be Mischayev al Pi'ed Echad. Guy's Mechal Shabbos, Beshogeg, what does he do? What does he do? Beis Mikdash is around. Mechal Shabbos, Karbon, right? Karbon Chatas. You need to aid him for that? Why not? Because the karban is kapara. And for things that are kapara, you don't need to aid them. Says Rashba, this is no different. If you hold kufra kapara, put your money where your mouth is. Kufra is kapara. Got to go all the way. And if kufra is kapara, you don't need to aid them. Al pi hodas atzmo, you pay the kofar. Shouldn't need to aid them. Frek the minchas chinuch in mitzvah lamed zayin. If you don't need Kabbalah's Eidim, and it's good enough to have an Eid Echad, just like you have by Yisurin, there's no Gemar Din, it's just a matter of Isra V'Heter. So what? If you hold this Mamish Kapara, and you don't need Shnei Eidim, and you don't need a Gemar Din, it's just a Psak that you have to pay Kapara. You go to the Rabbi, Rabbi, my Shor killed someone, what do I do? And he says, you pay Kapara. There's no Gemar Din. How is it even shayich to talk about Edom Zomim? Classic case of Edom Zomim. What happens? Reuben and Shimon come to court and they say that Levi killed Yehuda. Right? Then Moshe and Aaron come and say Reuben and Shimon imanu Yisem. What happens in between that? What did the Beis Din say? Reuben and Shimon come to court and say Levi killed Yehuda. And what did Beis Din do? Before Moshe and Aaron came and said Imanu Yisim, what did Beis Din do? They didn't kill him yet, but they already had a Gemar Din. You need a Gemar Din. That's one of the ingredients. We accepted the Eidos. We said, oh, Levi's Chayiv Misa. We'll do it soon. And then all of a sudden, two guys come running into Beis, and Moshe Rabbeinu come running into Beis. No, no, no. Reuven Shimon Imanu Yisem. A Gemar Din is a critical ingredient. Because otherwise, how do we know that Reuven and Shimon's testimony would have done anything? Maybe we wouldn't have believed them anyway. No, once you have a Gemar Din, it's already a done deal. It's already signed and sealed. Just not yet delivered. But if you hold Kufra Kapara, like the Rashba holds, that you don't need Shnei Edim and you don't need a Gemar Din, how could you ever have Edim Zomim on Kapara? There's no Gemar Din. You don't need Shnei Edim. It's a very strong kasha. Minchas Chinuch asks on the Rashba. So the Rav Shimon in Shari Yosher suggests to defend the Rashba that maybe you could say as follows: that even if you say Kufra Kapara and that an Eid Echad is Neeman to make him pay Kapara, that only means that he's Neeman about himself. That if he's Chayiv Kofer and he wants to get his Kapara, he can pay that Kofer and get his Kapara. But maybe Klape the Beis Din, we would view the Kofer like any other monetary issue. And Beis Din can only tell you and force you to pay the Kapara if we have a viable Gemar Din. Beis Din's not going to be Kofer on the Kapara otherwise. So there was a Gemar Din here. Because the guy was not Moda. And if the guy was not Moda and he didn't say he wants to pay it, the only way to get him to pay it and to be Kofer, at least if you hold like the Rambam that you can be Kofer, the only way to get him to pay it is by having a Gemar Din, by having Shnei Edim. Melut Shaykh to have Edim Zom. And that's why the Gemara say, no, but there's no Edim Zom because it's Kapar and there's not going to be Edim Zom and they're not Bnei Kapar. Okay, Sunday I guess we'll have a special shiur. Don't know what, I'll be in touch via text.